Let us turn to the Word of God that we read in the book of Psalms, Psalm 31, and we shall read at verse 5. Psalm 31 and verse 5. Into thine hand I commit my spirit. Thou hast redeemed me, O Lord God of truth. The Lord Jesus spoke the first part of this verse while on the cross, when he, just before he gave up the ghost, said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said thus, he gave up the ghost. David was in great straits when he prayed these words, and how suitable these words are in whatever condition we find ourselves. These words are applicable to us, even though David spoke them and the Savior spoke them. We are not excluded from making use of these words. No doubt many of the Lord's people have uttered these words in their trying moments, perhaps simply at the end of the day after the work is done, and they lay their head upon their pillow. They may say, Into thine hands I commit my spirit. And when all efforts and means have been used, and nothing else seems possible to be done, we have these words before us that we may use. Into thine hand I commit my spirit. Into thine hand I commit my spirit. Thou hast redeemed me, O Lord God of truth. When we come to die, how suitable are these words? When we breathe, or just before we breathe our last, we may use these words, Into thine hand I commit my spirit. But how important it is that we can also say, Thou hast redeemed me, O Lord God of truth. And so with the Lord's help, we will consider first the trust of believers, then secondly, the redemption or ransom of believers. Thou hast redeemed me, O Lord God of truth. And secondly, or thirdly, the truthfulness of the Lord. O Lord God of truth. The trust of believers, the redemption of believers, the truthfulness of the Lord. Into thine hand I commit my spirit. This word means to entrust or to deposit anything of value. Commit, entrust, or deposit anything that is valuable. And what is more valuable than the soul? People are concerned about their bodies, and we should take care of our bodies, but how little thought is given to the soul today. What shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? But here David says, Into thine hand I commit my spirit. His life, he was committing himself to the Lord. And if we deposit or commit our souls to the Lord, then we have true riches, riches that will last not for just an hour, but for eternity. And Paul, the apostle, knew what it was to commit his soul or spirit to the Lord. He was willing to devote himself to God no matter what he may face. He says in 2 Timothy chapter 1, For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. He had entrusted himself to the Lord. He had committed his soul to the Lord, and he knew, he was persuaded, that the Lord was able to keep his soul until the great day, the judgment day. David says, Into thine hand I commit my spirit. The hand of God is the work of God, and David is entrusting himself to God and his keeping, knowing that God will work on David's behalf. God's work is perfect. He doeth all things well. And David committed himself and his whole life to the Lord. In verse 15, he says, My times are in thy hand. My times. The course of his whole life was in the hand of God, and God would work on David's behalf. He cries to God Most High that performeth all things for him. And we are told in Isaiah 53 that the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand, that is the hand of Christ. So if we are trusting in the Lord, as David, who says, I trusted in thee, verse 14, I said, thou art my God, and then we do not need to fear the outcome, because all things are in God's hands. Our whole life is in his hands. Our times are in his hand. David needed the hand of God. David needed the work of God for him because he felt in danger. He was surrounded by enemies. The whole psalm speaks of that, really. Verse 2, bow down thine ear to me, deliver me speedily. Be thou my strong rock, for an house of defense to save me. He felt himself in a net, verse 4. And so, verse 5, he commits himself to the Lord. Into thine hand I commit my spirit. In verse 1, he acknowledges that God will help him for his righteousness' sake. Deliver me in thy righteousness. David does not claim any merit of his own. In fact, he acknowledges his sinfulness in verse 10. He says, my strength faileth because of mine iniquity, and my bones are consumed. He knew he was a sinner. He was sincere. He desired to follow God in all things, but he was not claiming sinless perfection. And in thy righteousness do thou deliver me, he says. It's only because of God's righteousness, not our own. That is the sole basis of expecting salvation from the Lord and help in all of our difficulties, because of God's righteousness, God's faithfulness, God's promise, and the ransom that he himself has provided. Well, that's what we consider secondly. Into thine hand I commit my spirit. Thou hast redeemed me, O Lord God of truth. The ransom of the Savior. Thou hast redeemed me, and this word is the literally ransomed me, which speaks about a transferring of ownership from one to another through the payment of a price or an equivalent substitute. And Christ is the substitute of his people, and he has paid the price for their redemption, for their salvation. He died on the cross. His blood was shed as payment to the justice of God to set his people free from the punishment they deserve. Thou hast redeemed me. Thou hast ransomed me, O Lord God of truth. God has appointed Christ to be the Savior of sinners, the substitute for the guilty. God has appointed him, and that's what we understand by the words of Elihu in Job chapter 33, where we read God says, or it can be spoken of God, I have found a ransom. God has appointed Christ. He has found a ransom. He has appointed his son to be the sin bearer, the one who would suffer and die for his people to purchase their salvation. God has made a way whereby sinners may escape the wrath and curse they deserve. And it is through the blood, redemption through his blood, so that we may obtain the forgiveness of sins through his blood. And David speaks about God redeeming him, and is through the ransom of Christ. It's at least pointing us to the cross. We are saved by the death of the Lord of glory. We receive forgiveness, pardon, and accepted through Christ, the Redeemer. And it is through the redemption purchased by Christ that we receive deliverance from the guilt of sin and also the power of sin. So we're considering mortification, dying unto sin, living unto righteousness. That is sanctification. That is a free grace that comes to us because of the redemption purchased by Christ. All the blessings of salvation come to us through Christ the Redeemer. And it is through the Redeemer that we receive grace to overcome. We receive the gift of faith to overcome, and the gift of faith to quench the fiery darts of the wicked, so that it is through faith in Christ the Redeemer that we will receive strength to resist the devil, and he will flee from us and all the other enemies that may surround us. And indeed, we have the enemy of sin in us, the world around us, and the devil to afflict us and torment us as he is permitted. People think about enemies in society, or even the state, or whoever it may be, but we have to remember the greatest enemy of all, as far as any external agency is concerned, is the devil. And he will make use of anything to divide and spoil the communion or fellowship of God's people. So we have to look to the Savior. We have to take the shield of faith to quench the fiery darts of the wicked. David certainly felt himself in that vulnerable condition from people of the world. He felt the strife of tongues, the slander of many. And people may be quick to slander us. They don't care about us. They don't care about our worship. So we find comfort in the Word of God. Who is he that will harm you if you be followers of that which is good? Into thine hand I commit my spirit. Thou hast redeemed me, O Lord, God of truth. And it's been pointed out that he uses the past tense because he is so sure of that final redemption. Yes, he has experienced redemption already. He has been delivered from many enemies. He's been delivered from the guilt of sin. But he's no doubt praying for salvation in time to come. And yet he is so certain of it that he speaks of it as if it had happened already. Into thine hand I commit my spirit. I need thy help, O Lord. Thou hast redeemed me. I know it's a certainty. I'm so sure of it. O Lord God of truth, thou wilt fulfill thy promises to me. Thou hast redeemed me. I am redeemed. I am saved already. I am certain of the ultimate final victory. Well, this is true of all of God's people. Christ has redeemed them. They are already in possession of eternal life. They're saved from the guilt of sin. They're forgiven already. They are saved from hellfire. And they will experience final redemption, the completion of salvation. David prays, or praises rather, in Psalm 86, verse 12, I will praise thee, O Lord my God, with all my heart, and I will glorify thy name forevermore, for great is thy mercy toward me, and thou hast delivered my soul from the lowest hell. David was safe, and every believer is safe in the arms of the Savior. Underneath are the everlasting arms. And so God's people have the assurance from the Word of God that God will help them in time to come. Paul knew this from experience as well, as he entrusted his soul to the Lord, and he knew that his soul was safe until the day of judgment. So he was confident that as God had delivered him previously from the mouth of the lion, he says, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, that all the Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. He goes on to say, and the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work, and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. And what words then the believer may lay hold of. The Lord shall deliver me from every evil work, no matter what it is. This is the confidence believers have. Are you a believer? Are you looking to Christ? Are you going to him? Are you trusting in him? Into thine hand I commit my spirit. Thou hast redeemed me, O Lord, God of truth. Well, then, in the third place, the truthfulness of God. David directs his prayer to the God of truth. God is the living and true God. He is a God of truth. He is faithful. Truthful, he is faithful to perform his promises. David says in verse 6 that he has hated them that regard lying vanities, but I trust in the Lord. And so he's looking to the God of truth. There's this contrast between the God of truth, verse 5, and those that regard lying vanities, verse 6. David rejects the lies, the vanity. He embraces truth and the God of truth. But I trust in the Lord. And really, anything that is trusted in apart from God is a vain thing. It's vanity. It will prove futile. At some point, it will give way. Such is the confidence of man. We need to make sure that we're putting our trust in the Lord, and not in man, not in human devices. Cease ye from man, whose breath is in his nostrils, for wherein is he to be accounted of? God of truth, he says, into thine hand I commit my spirit. Thou hast redeemed me, O Lord God of truth. And if he is the God of truth, that brings before us that God is omniscient. He knows all things. He knows the truth. There's no lie that will get past the Lord. He knows everything. And so verse 7, David says, I will be glad and rejoice in thy mercy, for thou hast considered my trouble. Thou hast known my soul in adversities. God knows the truth. He's the God of truth. He knows exactly what is happening. He knows all that we're going through all day long. He knows the whole truth of our circumstances. Nothing is hid from him. He knows what has happened. He knows what is happening now. He knows what will happen in the next 5 minutes, in the next 5 days, in the next 5 years. And he knows our frame. He knows our state. He knows our weakness. He knows all about us. He knows our desires to serve him if we're his people, though we fail so much and so continually. He is the God of truth. Into thine hand I commit my spirit. Thou hast redeemed me, O Lord, God of truth. When everything all around us seems to crumble, when nothing but confusion seems to prevail, God reigns. He's the God of truth. He reigns forever. He has always reigned. He reigns now. He will reign till the end of time. His truth at all times firmly stood and shall from age to age endure. O Lord, God of truth. In verse 8 we read, and hast not shut me up into the hand of the enemy. Thou hast set my feet in a large room. God will deliver his people because he is true. He's true to his word. He's faithful. If he's the God of truth, then he will be true to himself and his covenant engagements. He will be true to his word that he has spoken to his people. All that he says will come true. And so he will truly deliver his people from the hand of the enemy. And indeed, God's people are not in the hand of the enemy, but they are in the hands of God. Into thine hand I commit my spirit. My times are in thy hand. Deliver me from the hand of mine enemies and from them that persecute me. It's interesting to see how David speaks about what God has done for him in the past. Thou hast not shut me up into the hand of the enemy. He knows that. And yet he's still praying that God would still deliver him from the hand of the enemy. Verse 15. My times are in thy hand. Deliver me from the hand of mine enemies and from them that persecute me. Well, friends, if we're looking to Christ, we're safe in him. If we're trusting in the Lord, we're in his hand. The Lord Jesus says that no one will be able to pluck his people out of his hands. So we have there and here the final perseverance of the saints. God will preserve his people to the very end. And therefore there is so much reason to praise the Lord in all of our difficulties, yet wondrous cause of thankfulness, because we have the Word of God before us. We have times in the past that the believers have experienced of the Lord helping them carry on and preserving them through difficulties. We have every reason to be hopeful and thankful, and we should be thankful, because in everything we're to give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning us. And so as David says in Psalm 71, verse 22, I will also praise thee with the psaltery, even thy truth, O my God, unto thee will I sing with the harp, O thou Holy One of Israel. Well, are we trusting in the Lord? Are we committing our souls to God? Into thine hand I commit my spirit. When we feel threatened by surrounding danger, calamity, are we going to the Lord as our refuge? Or, on the other hand, are we taking matters into our own hands? David says, into thine hand I commit my spirit. We need to pray for wisdom, guidance, and strength, and determination to go forward in the path of duty, trusting in the Lord at all times, pouring out our hearts before Him. God is a refuge for us. Into thine hand I commit my spirit. Thou hast redeemed me, O Lord, God of truth. Well, look to the Savior, the only Redeemer, the only one who can save us from our sins, the only one who can give us a new heart, the only one who can strengthen us to persevere. It is not by might nor by power, but by God's Spirit that anyone will be saved and will go forward in duty. And when we face death, that King of Terrors, here we have precious words put in our lips. Into thine hand I commit my spirit. Thou hast redeemed me, O Lord, God of truth. Resigning all, everything, our soul, our life, into the hands of God. Go to Christ on the cross, look to the Redeemer, look to His precious blood, and commit our way to Him. May He bless His word. Let us pray. Mr. Campbell, would you pray?